From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Couple more nights here in St. Louis, then it's off to the City of Angels, back to Los Angeles. By the way, hello to Phil, floating along the Pacific Ocean out there near Hilo, Hawaii. A friend of his called me today and said, George, you're not going to believe this. I told him I knew you, and he can't believe it. He listens to you all the time, and he's even got the ability to hear you out there in the ocean. So, Phil, be safe. Enjoy the program. Next hour, world-renowned David Icke, our special guest, need I say any more. A story we have been following for about a year now. Finally, it appears that maybe, just maybe, this suspect could be the one. Cold fusion champion Eugene Malib, brutally murdered more than a year ago. Enough evidence has now been brought forth to make the arrest of the longtime suspect, Gary McAvoy. They looked at McAvoy a year ago, but they just didn't have enough evidence. Well, they finally went out and got a forensic expert. I mean, one of the best in the country. His name's Dr. Henry Lee. Once they put him into this case, Henry did his magic, and they dug up McAvoy. He was arrested by warrant at court. Now, he's already incarcerated on an unrelated case. He's in jail right now. It's a very strange story, nonetheless. But at least, finally, they have a suspect in the brutal murder of Dr. Eugene Malib. And as many of you know, he was a favorite guest here on Coast to Coast AM, talking about cold fusion and alternative energy. One person who, of course, knows all about this case, knew Gene Malib very well, and, of course, like so many of us, has been very upset about this entire situation, is our very own Richard Hoagland from the Enterprise Mission. Richard, though this suspect has to go through the court process, at least there seems to be some relief now that they finally have somebody in custody, huh?
Well, it's one of those good news, bad news situations. The good news is there is a suspect now in custody. The bad news is it's taken a year and several weeks to put someone, you know, under the spotlight for potentially murdering our dear friend. And that is unconscionable. I was talking with Mitchell Schwartz, who, of course, you know. He is one of Gene's closest friends and colleagues from MIT. He worked with Gene very closely on several extraordinary cold fusion experiments, which are, you know, giving us very positive results. He held a commemorative conference on cold fusion at MIT a couple weeks ago on the occasion, on the anniversary of Gene's murder, where there was a tribute where he asked me to come back and say a few words. And he was telling me some extraordinary and almost unbelievable information, George, that, for instance, one of his doctorates is in forensic medicine. He's an actual MD. And he said that it took them over a year to get the DNA testing from Gene's bloody clothes back from the lab.
You're absolutely right on that, Richard. It's been an unbelievable story. And I don't think we've gotten to the bottom yet, even with this suspect.
There's
something very peculiar about that.
Well, what's so peculiar is that we're right past the anniversary. You know that you and I have been talking about this. There's been other national intimations of what the heck is going on, guys. You know, get your act together. And suddenly they announced that this guy is a suspect in custody. It's just a little too pat for me, George, just a little too cute.
Well, let's stay in touch on this, Richard, and some other stories as well. And I know you're working on that roundtable discussion for us. So in due time, my friend, okay?
Yes, and I must say that not a day goes by that I don't think of Gene and the extraordinary things he would be doing if he were with us now.
I agree with that. Thanks, Richard. Appreciate it. It's Richard C. Hoagland. Other news, of course, the wife of a New Jersey man whose body was hacked up, put in three suitcases, and dumped in the ocean last year, was arrested because of this. Melanie McGuire, 32 years old, charged with first-degree murder in the death of her husband, William T. McGuire. McGuire was killed on April 29th of 2004. His dismembered body was found in his own luggage in the Chesapeake Bay near Norfolk, Virginia. Authorities say that they believe that she shot her husband in the chest and torso before the body was dissected and placed in suitcases that were dumped off the Virginia coast. In Illinois, the family of a sixth grader who choked to death on marshmallows while playing a classroom game settled their lawsuit with a suburban school district for $2 million. The judge dismissed the jurors after the attorneys announced the deal. The parents of the 12-year-old Catherine Casey Fish had been asking for unspecified damages. The family's attorney says, look, this was never about money. This case has been about getting the message across to America that dangerous games should not be played in school or without supervision. Casey's parents had argued that a school district and a teacher were responsible for the girl's death because the teacher who had been supervising the game was out of the room when the children started stuffing marshmallows in their mouths, seeing who could hold the most and still say the words, chubby bunny. She choked to death. Escorted into court by her fiancé, runaway bride Jennifer Wilbanks, a story we follow here on Coast to Coast, tearfully pleaded no contest to faking her own abduction. She was sentenced to probation, community service, and a fine. She simply said she was just truly sorry for her actions. She was sentenced to 2 years probation, 120 hours of community service as part of the plea bargain. Also ordered to continue mental health treatment and pay the sheriff's office $2,500 on top of the $13,000 she's paying to Duluth, Georgia. Taking aim at the United States, Russia's defense minister has threatened retaliatory steps if any country puts weapons in space, and said that Moscow would not negotiate controls over tactical nuclear arms with nations that deploy them abroad. Now, while he mentioned no country by name, the defense minister reflected persistent toughness over our intentions, and he simply says, if anything like this happens, there will be adequate retaliatory measures. A couple earthquakes today. Of course, there's always earthquakes on this planet. Indonesia hit with another one, 5.8, and also residents of northwestern Tennessee got jarred this morning by a 3.9 magnitude. Sounds like the planet's about ready to say something again, isn't it? And a woman who had a lucky escape when she fell from a fourth-floor balcony into her neighbor's extra-wide window is okay now. She dropped 30 feet and plopped right into a window box that had flowers. Had that box not been there and it was just put there, she would have died. Well, here are the phone numbers. We've got open lines for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line, 818-501-4109. Open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And happy birthday, by the way, to our great affiliate in Phoenix, KFYI 20-year bash out there. Congratulations and many, many more. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to the program. You're on Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from?
Hey, George, Tennessee.
Hey, hi. Welcome to the program.
This is Terry. I just wanted to ask you, why is it doggone it you keep bringing those doggone earthquakes from the West Coast over here to Tennessee?
Every time you come. I know it.
I mean, well, gosh, last time it was like a three. This time we're going on a four. Come on now. What's it going to be next time?
Let me, did you feel anything?
No. I'm about 110 miles from the epicenter. So I didn't notice anything. It was early this morning. I was asleep.
You're also right on the New Madrid Fault, which also goes up towards St. Louis.
Yeah, it branches down all through Tennessee, too, I understand they've discovered now, and parts of Arkansas. Lots of branches off of it.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I'll try not to bring anything there. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it on the program. Let's go next to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from?
Tennessee.
Another one.
Yeah.
What's going on there? You're gonna. I didn't bring the earthquake. It wasn't my fault.
That's right. I believe you. Now, I just had a quick question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I kind of missed out on your show the other night. I caught bits and pieces of the Jim Morrison thing.
Yes.
And I just had a story for you. I don't know if y'all covered this with him or not. But I was in the Gulf War back in 91.
Okay.
And I was stationed, I was off the border with some elements of the French, with the French Foreign Legion, as a matter of fact. Did you cover that?
No, I did not. Tell me a little bit more.
Well, the guys we talked to out there, I think it was right around the time the Doors movie was out. And some of them said it wasn't really a big secret that Mr. Morrison faked his death, joined the French Foreign Legion. He was, in fact, he retired a sergeant major out of the Foreign Legion.
Where is he now?
They don't know. Back then, they were talking about, they said, but it wasn't a big secret. He was a military brat, and before he died, he obviously lost a lot of weight, cleaned himself up.
His father was an admiral in the United States Navy. There's no doubt about that. And
yeah.
But at that time, when he reportedly died in 1971, are you sure he wanted to join some military? Because he was opposed to all that.
Well, he might have been opposed to all that, but he really didn't have much of a choice from what I remember, the way it went. He wasn't really allowed back in the United States without being charged, from what I remember.
Well, he was going to be charged with some things that had occurred in Miami. But I'm telling you, the James Morrison case, the whole story, is pretty darn bizarre. East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
This is Patty from Minnesota. And I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday a couple days early.
Well, thanks.
I didn't know if I'd get through. And I'd sing to you. I love to sing, but I don't have a voice. So I'd love to say happy birthday to you.
Well,
so I hope
thanks.
You have a happy weekend, and I hope you enjoyed your time with your family and everything. And
yeah, it was a great stay in St. Louis. Thanks, Patty. Appreciate you being on the program.
Yeah, you bet.
You
okay,
don't want to
bye-bye.
Sing. You want to. Why don't you sing just a little bit for me?
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear George. Happy birthday to you.
Not bad. I appreciate it. Not quite Marilyn Monroe singing "Happy Birthday, Mr. President," but pretty close. Next up, let's go to you, Wildcard Line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, right there at our perfect affiliate, KFYI. Good to have you with us. What's up?
You know, George, I've been recording the Arkdale programs for 15 years. This is the first time I've been able to get through to your program, and I want to tell you I've got a box full of interviews that Arkdale has done over the last 15 years.
That's going to be worth something. Keep them.
Yeah, I've got them. I wanted to ask you if you could possibly do another interview with that guy from Switzerland, Billy Meyer. You know, I've spent 30 years investigating the Billy Meyer case. I've read everything. I read the Randolph Winters, and I read the Lightyear's book, and I was hoping maybe that you would do another interview with Billy Meyer.
We have talked recently with some of his representatives. Billy doesn't conduct many interviews anymore, if any, which is sad, because you know, his cases and his pictures, his films are some of the most outstanding I have ever seen.
Absolutely. The photographs are absolutely wonderful. I have the original photo album. I have the original, and a lot of people have tried to buy it from me, but I won't sell it.
You sound like you collect a lot of great stuff.
Oh, I do. I've spent my whole life studying the UFO enigma, and the Billy Meyer case, in my opinion, is the most fascinating case of all cases. There are many other cases that are very interesting, but the Billy Meyer case is the most well-documented case of all of them.
2 days ago, I got a call from some producers in Los Angeles who are thinking about doing a program on Billy Meier. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love it. I'd love it.
All right, and we'll I'll keep you abreast on that, too, on the program if it materializes. Thanks for the call. Next up, Wild Card Line, you are on the air. Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Lena, and I'm calling from Buffalo.
Hi, Lena. How are you?
I'm great. I just want to tell you that I formerly lived on an Indian reservation, and my husband and I were asleep, and this huge upside-down blue light bulb landed, like almost, it was 10 feet off the ground, and it lit up probably 1 mile in either in all directions.
1 mile? Okay, and when you say it landed...
It was right outside my door. It was probably maybe 20 feet from my trailer.
How big was the craft or
huge.
The light bulb? Did it have physical shape to it, or did it just look like a light bulb?
It looked like an energy source of light, like iridescent blue, like those neon light things.
So you couldn't tell if there was anything physical with it, right?
No, but I'll tell you one thing. I had a dream that I was abducted, and they knew me that night. At first, I thought it was a joke. I thought somebody from the reservation was playing jokes on my husband and I. And then I really looked, and I decided I didn't want to go outside. Then I went back to sleep later, and it resulted in a pregnancy. And I have photographs. The baby didn't make it, but I have photographs of a baby inside of me with wings.
No. Wait a minute, Lena.
You have
these photographs?
It's a sonogram I've had. It
ultrasounds?
Since 1992. It was taken at Children's Hospital in Buffalo.
Have you shown these pictures to anybody else?
Nobody.
Would ever. You be willing to show them to us?
Yes.
All right, now we got to figure out how to get them from you. First of all, do you have a computer? Can you scan them and just email them to me?
I probably could do that, yeah.
Okay, now you have my email address, right?
Well, you have to give it to me.
All right, it's simple, just george@coasttocoastam.com.
George,
all right? coasttocoastam.com. Now tell me a little bit more about this. What did the doctors say when they looked at this ultrasound?
He freaked out, and he brought about 6 or 7 other doctors in, and they all looked, and they couldn't believe it. They thought it was like an angelic thing. And right then and there, I knew the baby wasn't going to make it. I just knew it. And the baby didn't make it. But
how long was the term at the time, your pregnancy?
6 months.
Oh, my.
6 months. Yeah, it was rough. And
Now I've got to ask you this. This is somewhat graphic, but this is very important to the story.
Okay.
So the fetus...
Yeah.
What happened to it? I mean, what did the doctor, beyond the picture, the doctors obviously saw the fetus, right?
Oh, well, yeah, it was with, it was a baby, like you'd see a regular sonogram, but it had wings.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, beyond the pictures that you're telling me about, are you saying that the fetus, once this pregnancy terminated, the doctors saw this fetus and it had wings?
I don't know if it had it at birth, but it had it during the sonogram because my best friend was at the other end, when they had to take the baby, and they had to take it because my health was deteriorating so bad.
I understand. What did your friend say? Did anybody witness wings on this fetus?
I never asked her about the wings, but I can still talk to her. I'm not sure if it still had wings when it was born, but it
okay,
had wings.
Well. I tell you what, by all means, why don't you get me those pictures? I'd like to see them, and with permission to post them on our coasttocoastam.com website, if you would. And again, I know you just wrote my email address down, but it's very simple. It's just george@coasttocoastam.com. I would like to see those post-haste, if you would. I really would. And if those of you need to email me, of course, you can always do that with that email address, simple as that. And also get up to our website from time to time because we post great feature stories, pictures that you send us, and also monitor those hot stories. Those are stories that Lex peruses all over the place and puts them there, and I think you'll find them to be utterly fascinating. Well, I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this hour. At the top of the hour, David Icke will be our guest right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up now for Streamlink, now with podcasting. Get it today at coasttocoastam.com.
Francisco, she must have lost her way, posting a poster of Pancho and Cisco one California day. She says she believes in Robin Hood and Brotherhood and colors of green and gray, and all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades.
From somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Feature article on the CoastToCoastAM.com website gives you an after-dark sneak peek of the June UFO special, so make sure you're part of that. If you want to subscribe, by the way, to the After Dark newsletter, you get 14 issues for the price of 12. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at CoastToCoastAM.com. By the way, those of you checking in, nothing really new to report with Prophet Yahweh and his quest to summon up UFOs out there in the Las Vegas area, but we'll update you if anything happens. Back in a moment. If you remember Friday night during the open lines, I got a call from an individual in the St. Louis area who was telling me, and this is happening around several areas in this country, but he was telling me about how if you park near railroad tracks in Belleville, Illinois, your car going downhill will mysteriously go uphill. It's bizarre. It's just strange. And the story was, a child was killed on the railroad tracks, and he is pushing your vehicle away from the tracks to safety. Well, I plan to go out there tomorrow, Belleville, Illinois, to take a look at this myself. I have had 4 phone calls from people who live in that area. All of them say that has happened. However, no one has put powder, talcum powder, something on the bumpers of these cars, because some people say that you might see the little handprints of the kid. And I think that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm really interested in finding out. So we will try to do that. And as you know, similar case in Texas, happening around railroad tracks as well. So it seems to be all over this country, these bizarre stories. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. This is Woody from San Antonio. Happy birthday.
Woody, thanks. Woody, what's up?
Well, I just want to tell you about those haunted ghost tracks we have here in San Antonio.
Oh, we were just talking about that. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a more than unusual story about those. I've been going for years, since the 70s, and, you know, you put it in neutral, turn off the engine, it slowly goes uphill and then over the railroad tracks, and you know, it's kind of fun. My friend Leonard, very skeptical, so I got him to go out there, and we put the corn silk on the back of his car, and he put it in neutral, and then all of a sudden, normally you take off slow, but this one time we went fast, and he's stomping on his brakes trying to stop, and we couldn't stop. As soon as we go over the railroad track, a train goes by, and this was very unusual. It never happened like this before. So we waited for the train to go. We turned around, went to the Little League field with lights, and right where we put the corn silk, there were handprints, but they were deep. And he's saying, I did it. I'm saying he did it. We're real shaken. So we decided to try it again. So we put the corn silk back. We wiped off the little handprints, what looked like handprints anyway. And this time, just like normal, we went slowly up and over. So we turn around and go back to look in the lights. And the handprints are sorted back there, but they're very light this time. He got so scared, he started yelling at me, saying, get in the truck, and he refused to talk about it ever again.
Woody, does this seem to happen when everybody goes out there?
Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, every Halloween, they're all there at Via Main and Chain Road, and the cars will line up for like a good mile or two. It's very famous around here. The way the story goes, supposedly, and everyone's always heard this, that a school bus got stalled on the tracks, and whether the bus driver left to get help or stayed, no one knows, but supposedly a train came by, killed all the kids, and now, to save people from it, what they'll do is they'll push you over the track so you don't get stalled on it. Now, when this happened and we went fast, I don't know if they were trying to harm us or trying to get us quickly before the train would come, but that had never happened. We had never gone fast before, and it was very scary. As a matter of fact, all the streets in the area, like Shane Road where it's at and Cindy Sue, they're all children's names. And there's a local author around here who writes all these ghost stories. Her name's Dosha Schultz Williams. She's written about it in depth. She's been on sightings. But I went on one of her haunted tours of San Antonio.
Yeah.
And we're in like a big bus, like a Greyhound. It's called a Kerrville bus, but it's a big, huge bus. And she took us out there. And I'll be danged if that bus did not go over the tracks. This is a big, heavy bus.
You know, it is incredible how that happens. Have they had any scientists come out there, Woody, to try to check it? Who knows what might be causing it beyond the paranormal?
Every couple of years now, they'll do that. Some people says, oh, well, it's just an optical illusion. It's really going downhill. And other people say, no, it's going uphill. I've even been out there with a level. And I'm telling you, it goes uphill. I cannot tell you how it works. I tend to like to think of the romantic notion that it's the ghost of little children trying to save your life. But whether it's a gravity field or something, I couldn't tell you. I'm no expert.
Well, it is fascinating how it happens around this country, too, with very similar stories of what might have caused this. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
My name's Laura.
I always have a good day, Laura. I always have a good day.
Well, I'm calling from a little tiny place called Bronson, Florida.
Uh-huh.
It's up on the sand hills in the middle of nowhere. And I'm calling to share kind of a crazy story of my life. I don't share it with very many people, but I figured you guys would be a good audience.
Could this be like a made-for-TV movie eventually?
Oh, gosh, let's hope not. I was born in 1957 into a military family. My dad worked in radar sites.
Okay.
And for most of my childhood, we moved like every 9 months, and all I knew that was my dad worked in the big golf balls. Are you familiar with them?
I am not.
Okay. Well, that's where they, you know, they track the radar and, you know, for the aircraft at the airfields and so on.
All right. See, I'm a Navy guy. I wouldn't know those things.
Well, in about 1967, I guess I was about 9 or 10, my dad brought home these, like, cases, these boxes of files. And, you know, I used to play in his room, and I was playing with him, and they said, for your eyes only. And I recall seeing something about the Blue Project, or the Blue Brick Project. I now know what it was. But I saw the 8x10 black and white glossies of the two military men holding up the little alien when I was about 10. So I had that and had no idea what it meant, of course, at that age. But when I was about 12, I started waking up and seeing like little small people, you know, 3 to 4 feet, like standing in the doorway of my bedroom at night. That's all I have the memory there. But when I was 16, I woke up one morning and I had a third-degree burn between my belly button and my left hip. And being in the military, Mama said, well, let's go to the doctor. And he said, well, were you in the sun? I'm like, well, it's February. And he's like, well, it's a severe burn. Did you scald yourself? You know, I'm like, no. Oh. And so we just forgot about it. In my 20s, I lived in the Florida Keys. And
yes.
Actually saw some really weird stuff off the 7 Mile Bridge, you know, zigzags, and, you know, it was a wild time. We always wrote it off to the alcohol. But I started getting visited. One night I woke up and I heard a low humming noise. Looked out my bedroom window and, you know, I couldn't see the sky. It was like something there. And it was like daylight. And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning.
That bright.
It was daylight. And I kicked, punched, pinched, and pounded on my husband, and he would not wake up. I looked over in the corner of the room, and there was like a 10-pointed, beautiful star. And the top point was long, and the bottom points were long, and it was spinning. And I freaked out. So I lay down, and I went back to sleep. That's all I remember. When I was about 27, at another house, I was visited again. Woke up crying like I had lost someone. And I don't know when I remembered it, but I finally did remember that I saw the little people, and they had brought a baby and showed it to me. And went away.
Tony,
and when they left.
Was this your baby?
I think so.
Yeah.
Wait, it gets better. So about 4 or 5 years later, I had another visitation. And this time, the being was holding the hand of a 4 or 5-year-old child.
Oh my.
And the child looked at me and was like not interested, wanted to go, turn around, and they walked away.
And what did the child look like? Did it look like a human?
It looked like a really beautiful human.
Okay.
Just a really beautiful, perfect, you know, I don't remember the color of the hair. I just remember the face was just, you know, angelic, I would say.
Okay, but not alien-looking.
No, not at all. But I did receive some kind of telepathic or some kind of emotional communication from them that I realized was, it really didn't care about me. During the visitations in my 20s, I had the classic, you know, they would show me the end of the world and, you know, the molten lava, you know, and the people dying and the earth blowing up. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And it was almost like, and I think now that they kind of made a deal with me. Because after that, I had memories of dreams of a white owl that would fly through my house and land in the tree in my backyard, and I would follow it, and it would, like, give me wisdom and knowledge as, like, a trade. And I've recently thought, like, in the last 10 years, or let's say in the last 5 years, I haven't been visited. And I think...
Why not? What do you say? I don't know if the deal's off or not, but... I don't know why they haven't contacted you. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. This you, George?
It sure is.
Oh, good. I've tried to get a hold of you the last 10 years.
Well, not 10, because Art was there most of the time.
Well,
but
it was you and Art. I've tried
okay.
That long.
All right. What? Okay. You finally made it.
Yeah. First, I want to ask you, do you know what the general fund is?
The general fund?
Yes, the government.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
All right. Is Social Security part of it?
It is not supposed to be, but I think it is. I think they've tapped into Social Security, and they put the money in the general fund.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was hoping it wasn't, but...
Yeah, well, it's not supposed to, but I'm pretty sure... It is. They take the Social Security money and they use it for general operating, as you would say, the general fund. It's tossed in there. I would bet everything I had on that.
Well, that's sure hell not right.
Well, I know it's not right. And, you know, they're playing around with your money and my money and everybody else's.
Well, I know.
You know, and unfortunately, if they didn't tap into it, then they wouldn't be able to do what they do.
That's right. I agree with you.
So in light of all this, where's it going? So why do you bring this up?
Well, I was wondering, I know when my mother died and my dad, we had to, you know, I took both checks back and told them to put them in Social Security. They said, well, it don't go in Social Security. It goes into a general fund. And I've been wondering that long.
Well, I'm glad you finally got to us and your question has been answered.
Yeah, and I wasn't very happy about it.
No, I know it. We're not going to deceive you. We got to tell it the way we see it. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Buenas noches, George. How you
si,
doing?
Si, how are you?
Doing great. This is Totally Confused from Cambridge, Massachusetts, coming at you from the Freedom Crow's Nest.
I love that name you use.
You can just call me TC if you want. It's cool.
Okay, TC.
It's been a wild week with Prophet Yahweh and all that, but wow, that story that the woman just told you about the aliens and the baby, I think she was the real deal. I think people.
Well, and there are a lot of people out there that I think are the real deal.
Yeah. I think people got to start getting into that and tuning into it and realizing this is for real. This is really happening, and those people aren't crazy.
But what do you think, TC? What do you think they're doing? Why do they want these kids?
I don't know. It sounds like to me that something's changing. I think consciousness on the planet is changing.
Have you seen the movie? It's on video now. Have you seen Forgotten?
No, I haven't.
You got to see that.
Yeah, I heard of it. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Maybe I'll rent it this weekend. But
yeah.
I was thinking of taking a road trip out to Illinois. What is it, Bellevue?
Belleville.
Wow, that's a really creepy story. I actually had a similar experience a couple of years ago. I was at a pond here in Massachusetts just doing some meditation at dusk. And it's off the side of a highway, and people stop there. It's a common area. You know, it's like a little park in this small town. Well, I'm out there, and the sun's going down. It's really nice, and it's calm, peaceful, and all that. Well, I don't realize it, but, you know, as I'm meditating, everyone leaves, and I'm left there all alone, and it's getting dark, and it's really quiet. And then all of a sudden, I hear this little voice, like, coming at me, like, right in my right ear. And I hear, there's someone behind you. And, you know, you sometimes have, like, you know, intuition or thoughts that...
You've got that extra sense that kicks in.
Well, this had never happened to me before. I never experienced anything like this. It was like someone was actually speaking into my ear. Well, I turn around, and sure enough, there's a guy in the woods right behind me, and he's like in the woods, like peering out at me, and I totally freaked. And I'm a big guy. You know, I'm 27, at the time I was 25, and I'm like scared, like a little boy. I'm like, oh, God. And I just made a beeline to my car, but it was the weirdest thing. He shouldn't have been there.
No.
I noticed everybody who had come in had left. And he just showed up out of nowhere, and thank God for that voice, because who knows what could happen to old TC.
TC, I'm glad you're still around. Let me tell you something. Have you ever had a situation where it's nighttime, you're looking outside the window of your house or wherever you may be, and you see someone on the street, on the sidewalk, maybe on your grass, just staring back at you, not doing anything, not walking, just staring back at you. Now that is creepy. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Jay. I'm from Oceanside.
Hey, Jay, welcome.
Hey, hi. I wanted to run a strange story by you and see if it, I'm not really sure what happened. I've got my ideas, but... All in all, it's just a pretty crazy story, and I just kind of wanted to get it out there.
Okay.
I think in a nutshell, I think I basically invoked some kind of angelic deity or some kind of extra-dimensional thing just from goofing off with this light one day. It's very, very weird. I was bored one day. I'm sure you've seen them. They've got these round globe lights that you can buy in Radio Shack. They've got, like, lightning on the inside of them. They're about a foot in diameter.
Exactly. Yep.
I put a glass of water on top of it just to see what's going to happen. I drink it, and I can actually taste electricity, so this kind of intrigued me. And I'd recently been reading these Mantak Chia books about, you know, harnessing your internal chi and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, let's see where this goes. So I put the thing on a speaker. You know, it's at my midsection. I stick my hand on it, and I start doing these deep breathing exercises. And lo and behold, I can actually feel this electricity. And I'm not even a normally sensitive person. I don't even normally do stuff like this. I feel the electricity going into my hand and going into the bottom of my spine. And as I do this for a couple minutes, and as I'm doing this and I can feel like I'm kind of generating this electricity, the lightning on the inside of the lamp starts spinning around, correlating to my breathing. And the higher that I get it up my spine, I can feel it. I can literally feel it. It feels like a heat, like electricity in my back. It starts spinning around faster. It starts almost looking like bicycle spokes, and they start making like a mandala pattern. And as I'm sitting there looking at this, I'm just like completely blown away by it. I'm doing this for a few minutes. An image of a little man. There's like a smaller globe in the inside of the larger globe.
All right, like a little gnome man or something like that?
No. Like the image, a little phosphorescent image of a guy, but it was pixelated. It almost looked like an old 8-bit Atari video game, about a half inch tall. Starts running around the circumference of the inner globe. And I'm sitting here looking at this going, you got to be kidding me, right? I mean, I've never hallucinated in my life. I call my girlfriend, who is in the jacuzzi outside on her deck. I go, come in here and just tell me what you see. I didn't want to lead her on and go, do you see the little man in the light running around? So I just go, come in here and tell me what you see. Her eyes basically pop out of her head. She sits on the couch. She's like, yeah, I see what you're seeing. So I'm doing this. I'm intrigued. She's like worried. She's like, you got to unplug this light. You got to cut this out. The image goes from the little man, turns into a lion's head. It looks like female eggs in mitosis. This is all like just on the inner little ball. It's like these images that are popping up. And I'm looking at this, you know, it goes from a lion's head, female eggs, a skull, and a torus.
I got to tell you, well, there's a lot of weird stories, but that's another one of them. I'll be back in a moment. We've got to go live to the United Kingdom. We're going to pick up David Icke. We're going to take him and you and all of us on one heck of a coast-to-coast ride in just a moment. Be right back.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505.